episode 447, The Dark Tower's Perfect Casting, and other news.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Ed Emerson.
I'm Ben DiBono, and Idris Elba fled across the desert, and Matthew McConaughey followed him.
Isn't it the opposite?
No. Idris Elba's playing the gunslinger.
The gunslinger fled across the desert, and the man in black followed him?
Oh, wait. Crap. Can we start over?
All right. Say the whole thing.
All right. You can keep this on there. Just hit the music again.
You really thought that through. It's like, this is going to be great.
It's going
to
be great.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and Matthew McConaughey fled across the desert, and Idris Elba followed him.
And if you don't understand that reference, it's the first line in the first book of the Dark Tower series.
Yeah.
The actual line is...
The man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed him.
So in that book, The Gunslinger, we're introduced to a man named Roland, who is the last gunslinger in this alternate universe. He is chasing a mysterious man called the Man in Black. Idris Elba will be playing Roland, and yes. Matthew McConaughey will be playing the Man in Black.
I think it's great. I think this is fantastic.
Well, we got our title from your Facebook post today where you said this is perfect casting.
It is perfect casting. I love both of these actors. I can't wait to see them working together. Presuming the series goes on, I'm excited to see what Idris Elba does with some of these stories down the road. Just fantastic. I'm thrilled.
So I don't have the article in front of me, but if I'm not mistaken, this movie, they're shooting to have it released next January. Is that correct?
I think so.
Should I check on that? Or do you know that for a fact?
We don't care.
Okay, so the movie's coming out, though, in early 2017. I should probably finish these books. I've only read two of the seven books.
Right.
But I have this other reading goal that I'm in the middle of, so I don't know what to do. How many movies do you think they'll make out of the seven books?
Three? I don't know what the plan is right now, because for a while it was, we're going to do a movie, then there's going to be like a TV season, and I think that's been dropped, but I'm not sure.
Oh, that has been dropped, because that was when it was with Universal.
Yeah.
So Universal was going to make some movies, and then on NBC they were going to have a miniseries. And then, so after Universal, the rights went over to Warner Brothers, and they eventually dropped it, and now Sony has picked it up. And Sony's the one that did this perfect casting.
January 13th, 2017. So I am optimistic about this project. I don't know who's directing it, but this is good news.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to start filming here. I in the next few months, I'd say, I mean, they have to if it's going to be a January release date.
Right. Well, and who knows? Maybe that'll get pushed, but this is great. I'm thrilled. It's kind of interesting because, you know, the gunslinger character is largely inspired by Clint Eastwood's Western characters. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, it maybe doesn't fit. But as the character develops in the series, I think Idris Elba is a great choice.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this in my Goodreads review of the book, but Roland as a character, story aside, even though I do like the story, I think Roland's one of the strongest characters I've ever read in fiction.
Right.
So I'm really excited to see Idris Elba in that role.
Have you seen the Man with No Name trilogy?
I haven't. Do you own it?
I do.
I might want to borrow it from you.
That's
because,
fantastic.
Yeah. But do you think I should watch the original in Japanese first?
I think you should.
Okay.
Yeah, you get some foreign film in
you. Do you have that?
I do.
Too? All right. So the Man with No Name trilogy... only the first movie is based on a Japanese original, correct?
Right. So the Japanese movie by Akira Kurosawa, who you should also, if you're going to get into foreign film, you might as well watch him because he's the inspiration for Star Wars or a lot of it.
Yeah.
So Yojimbo is the name, and then that has a sequel called Sanjuro, but nothing's based on that. And so then A Fistful of Dollars is almost an identical plot to Yojimbo, but then for a few dollars more in The Good, Bad, and the Ugly go in their own direction.
And Seven Samurai, is that the same director?
Akira Kurosawa, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Oh, yeah, he did tons and tons. Okay. Rashomon, if you've ever heard of that.
I have not. Oh. So, good. Well, I'm excited for this.
Well, you might not have heard of it, but I bet you're familiar with the trope that it pretty much invented where it's, like, most of the movie is flashbacks, and we see the same events from three different perspectives throughout the movie. Mm. Like different TV shows have done stuff like that.
Hey, before we get to more news, let's take a second here to thank our generous listeners. Have you been checking out our One Day's Wages page?
No.
Okay, so everybody, if you don't know, I'm mentioning this every episode, basically. We're in the midst of raising money for a water fund to give water to places around the world that are in need of clean water. So this year we have a big initiative. Instead of sending any donations to us, we're encouraging you, the listening audience, to donate to onedayswages.org/thescificristian. Right there you'll find our site where you can see the listeners that have chosen to give. And Ben, why don't you talk about the people that have given this week since last week? So I gave last week.
I don't have it up in front of me.
Oh, you don't? Okay, well, I've got it right here. We had a gift from CJ, we had a gift from Michael, and a gift from Amy, all in the last week. So thanks, guys. You're helping us get closer to our goal. So right now, the total goal that we're reaching for by the end of 2016 is $5,000, and we are at $415 as of today.
So we made some good progress.
Yeah, we've got, let's see, do you mind if I read a few of these notes from people? So yeah. Like when I sold some used books, and so in my comment section after donating, I just said what I did to get that money. But
you
CJ
sold you. Well, then you should read my comment.
Well, we've already read that, though.
I said I gave twice as much as Matt.
So CJ, though, these are the new ones, wrote and said, thank you for your show and making the gift of water a communal initiative for the Sci-Fi Christian fandom in 2016. Given my personal history, I know the necessity of water as a part of ongoing health and wellness, and I am excited to partner with you in this endeavor. Here's to getting this essential resource to many neighbors we may never meet this side of eternity.
That's how I like neighbors.
Come on, Ben. Speaking of water, if you could meet any aquatic-themed character, who would it be? And he gives us some options, and I'll tell you my answer in a second. He says, Aquaman? Question mark. Prince Namor? Admiral Akbar? Boss Nass?
No.
Captain Nemo, maybe? Quint from Jaws? Davy Jones? Oh, and no cheats. He says, I can't choose Batman in a scuba suit. So, I mean, obviously, I don't know if you guys... I mean, yeah, I talk about this. I love Aquaman. I don't know why. Just ever since I was... I remember being a 3 or 4 year old watching the old Super Friends cartoon. Aquaman was always a favorite. Orange was my favorite color growing up. So his orange shirt sort of won me over.
Yeah.
Okay, how about you? Who's your favorite
Admiral
aquatic?
Admiral Akbar, of course.
Yeah.
Even though we never see him in the water. But Boss Nass? Who's going to choose Boss Nass?
Probably nobody, but I think he's just putting it out there as some options.
I see. CJ's a friendly guy.
Yeah, so thank you, CJ, for that. Michael said, the clean water must flow. So thank you for that.
Little Dune reference.
Oh, I didn't get it, but yeah, you're right. That is good. And then Amy said, I second the idea to make Matt stay on the podcast if we can reach $5,000.
But you can't leave just because we fall short.
I'm not ready to commit to that yet, but it's just quite an idea, Amy. I might consider throwing something out there. We'll see.
All right.
So again, go to onedayswages.org/thescificristian. It is onedayswages.org. And they followed us on Facebook on Twitter this week.
They mentioned us. Yeah. They have like 600,000 followers.
It's pretty good. I don't think any of their followers ended up coming to give because I know Amy, Michael, and CJ.
Yeah.
And I know our past givers, Jeremy and Magnus.
But maybe they're listening.
Yeah.
Because we got free advertising. We got to do this charity thing more often.
I guess I should say I don't know the people that we just mentioned, but like I've seen their names around before. They're people I recognize as listeners.
Yeah, you've stalked them on the
internet.
They've
all wrote into us in the past at some point. So thank you to you guys that have donated, and we're encouraging you, audience, go onto that website and give right now.
Yeah.
We want to read more of these awesome notes next week. All right, Ben, next piece of news.
All right, Transformers 5.
No, we're
Silver
not talking.
Lining.
We're done talking about Transformers.
Well, are we done talking about the X-Files? it's going to film in Detroit, so it's a silver lining because Detroit's economy needs the massive amounts of money they're going to bring in.
I mean, I guess that is nice, but I see Transformers news now, and I pass it up.
Oh.
I just don't want to... Let's not cover that.
I agree.
I think I'm going to put my foot down when Ryan, my best friend...
I was just about to say, are you going to commit to not going to the movie?
Yeah, when my best friend asked me to see Transformers 8, 9, and 10,
right.
I'm done.
What about 5, 6, and 7?
Oh, is that what we're on now? I don't even know. I don't need to see a Bumblebee origin story.
Okay, I will pass on all future Transformers news so long as you stay out of the theater for Transformers, you can see other things.
Okay, thank you.
Well, speaking of which, remind me, I have a story time.
Man, I hope Ryan's not too disappointed, though. What if he's like, I really want to see it?
Well, then I guess we're going to cover Transformers news.
All right.
But I have a story time at the end. So it's been a recent trend to have movies get TV shows, and two more jumped into the ring. The Mist is going into work at Spike, and then The Departed, which was a Chinese or a Hong Kong movie trilogy and then later remade by Martin Scorsese as a great film, is being remade, and I'm not sure what network, but both those are becoming TV series.
You know, I didn't know that Departed was a remake.
Yeah.
So he took a trilogy and mashed it down into one movie?
Yes.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
I haven't seen them, but it's a trilogy called Infernal Affairs, and I believe they're Hong Kong cinema.
In Marvel Netflix news, Iron Fist was cast, and it's a Game of Thrones actor. Do you know who Finn Jones played in the show?
Oh, I remember seeing... Oh, yeah. He plays Loras Tyrell.
Okay. Yeah. So Loras Tyrell
buddy.
Is going to be Iron Fist. So,
yeah.
All right, that's it. Next piece of news.
Sad news of the week. Do you know who Steve McQueen is? Not the action star from the 50s, but the director.
I know the action star from the 50s.
Okay. Steve McQueen is, in my opinion, the best director working today. He's done the movie Hunger, the movie Shame that I covered during my Why Would You Watch That series on YouTube I did a couple months back. And then most recently, 12 Years a Slave that won the Oscar for Best Picture a couple years ago. He is incredible. I think he could be our generation's Stanley Kubrick. He's that good. And unfortunately, this makes me angry because HBO has passed on a miniseries that he had called Codes of Conduct. So shame on you, HBO.
Man, you love HBO too.
Yeah.
Here's some
news. It's like when mom and dad fight.
Here's some news we should have covered last week, but I didn't miss it. I just forgot to read it, even though it was on my notes. We've been talking about how Doctor Who was taken off of Hulu and Netflix, and people are wondering how are they going to still be able to watch it online. Well, it has been announced that it is going to come back to streaming via Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
I'm actually happy about this because I had the huge initiative 3 years ago to watch all of it that was available.
You did it.
Did it. But then after that 50th anniversary episode, I never saw anything else. And then luckily Hulu had the Christmas episode. But then all of the episodes that feature Peter Capaldi, I guess I've seen part of the first one, but never finished that dinosaur one. So I'm in the middle. So I don't know.
I like how no matter how long it's been, you don't go back to the beginning. You would start at the second you left off.
In that dinosaur one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No way.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to see
here. Are you saying you're going to go back and watch seasons 9 and 10 or however many it's been?
I think it's 8 and 9 just aired. Yeah, I'll watch. I just feel like I'm into it enough where I want to know what's going to happen, but not so into it that I'm anxious to get back to it.
Right.
I don't have any date here, though, when it's coming back.
Well, check your Amazon listings.
Yeah. It's coming up on Amazon Prime sometime in March. Okay, next piece of news.
All right, I want to talk about the controversial news of the week, or what might be controversial to some people. And I warned you in advance. I was going here, so buckle your seatbelts, everyone. So J.J. Abrams this week came out and announced that eventually Star Wars is going to have a gay character in it.
Well, right? I want to ask you a question. Did he say it would, or did he say it should? Because I thought he said it should.
I think he said it would, but it doesn't matter. I have the same point to make regardless. Okay, so my point I'm going to make has nothing to do with my views on homosexuality. If you want to know what they are, just look in the Catholic Catechism, because I'm a Catholic and I agree with the church. All right. Here's the deal, though. I imagine that there has been some, not a ton, but some gnashing of teeth from Christians on this who may not appreciate those views and that worldview and whatever. That's not the point here. And I want to say that if you're in that group, you have no right to be mad. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because people in that group, most of the people who are complaining, want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to have their cake in the sense that when a movie like Star Wars comes out and anybody criticizes it, oh, it's just fun. It's just everybody just wants to go have a good time. It's, you know, so just turn your brain off, have fun. And that's the line we're told again and again and again with these big blockbuster movies. In other words, they want it to be this populist, widespread entertainment. Well, the result of that is that then studios are going to try and appeal to as many people as possible, and they're going to tap into whatever is accepted in the cultural mainstream at the moment. And that means you're going to get gay characters. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And I would say the same thing on the other side to people who are complaining about movies like Gods of Egypt being whitewashed. Again, you can't sit there and make this argument for these movies should just be populist, widespread, mindless entertainment that we should all embrace, and then get upset when studios make decisions that are in line with what they believe is appealing to as many people as possible. You don't get to have your cake and eat it too on this issue. So if you're going to be upset about this, either the whitewashing thing or you're going to be upset about a gay character in Star Wars, you need to drop the idea that this is all just mindless entertainment that we should all just go along with, whatever, and get off the populist bandwagon, because that's what's going on here. It has nothing to do with a pushing an agenda. It has everything to do with making as much money as possible, and you can't defend that on one side and then criticize it when it doesn't line up with your political or religious agendas.
I want to ask
that is my rant.
I want to ask you a clarifying question. I understood where you're going when it comes to the character in Star Wars, but when you talk about whitewashing, it sounded like you were saying, and I just want to see if I understood, that you believe that the studio must have thought they're going to make more money if they have white actors play those characters. Is that
or at least A-list actors, yeah.
But they're not A-list actors, are they?
Gerard Butler. Yeah. Compared to when people are saying, well, why don't you have Egyptian actors in there? Well, name one Egyptian actor who is as big as Gerard Butler.
Okay, so you're saying that the studio chose actors that would have some sort of notoriety.
Yeah, or at least that's what they think.
So then they overlooked actually being culturally sensitive.
Right.
And they did that because, I'm just asking this to be make sure I understand, they see audiences going to these movies no matter what anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. They're in their minds, and maybe they're wrong about this, but in their minds, casting Gerard Butler is going to help the movie make more money than going out and getting an Egyptian actor who looks like an Egyptian and nobody's ever heard of before.
Okay.
And on the same token, the other thing, just a mini rant, sub-rant to the rant, for people who are upset about the whitewashing thing, I bet you that 99% of the people who are complaining about that have never once gone and seen an Egyptian or Middle Eastern movie. They have no interest in world cinema, which, frankly, from the perspective of actual countries like Egypt or Iran or Japan or any of these other countries who support Egyptian or cultural cinema within their countries for the purpose of cultural preservation, I would guarantee you that Hollywood running over and stealing all their actors is a bigger cultural threat than casting white actors in an Egyptian part. And it's hypocritical for people to be upset about the one and completely ignore the existence of world cinema.
I don't think I got your sub point. So I know that you've been watching more foreign films, so yes. I'm guessing that's where this is coming from.
That's part, yeah.
So you're saying Hollywood is stealing
actors from other markets? I'm saying, yes, number one, I'm saying that people who claim they want to care about the advancement of Egyptian actors but then pay no attention to world cinema, that's hypocritical.
Okay.
Number two, that from the perspective of those cultures and those countries, Hollywood stealing all of their stars is a bigger threat to their cinema than Hollywood casting Gerard Butler in Gods of Egypt.
So that is something that's happening. Hollywood is going to these other markets.
No, that's not something that's what people want to have happen. They want them to go to Egypt, get an Egyptian actor and cast them in Gods of Egypt. And what I'm saying is that in those countries, their countries actually, as part of their national budgets, fund cinema and film in a lot of these countries. That's something I just learned recently, but they actually fund it as part of their budgets. Why? Because they view it as an important part of cultural preservation to have Egyptian movies or Iranian movies get made.
So you're saying it would actually be bad for that country to take an actor from there and bring them here to do a Hollywood movie because it would be taken away from the movies that impact their countries.
At the very least, I'm saying that that's a perspective that nobody who's complaining about Gods of Egypt or any of these other movies ever stops to consider.
Okay, that's interesting. And I did like how you, and the first point, you tied it into a common theme here on the show, which is that story matters.
Yeah.
And you can't just go to something and like it just because it's the Avengers or whatever.
Right, exactly. If you're going to be populist, you need to accept and that's fine. If you just want to be in the shut your brain off, widespread entertainment populist camp, that's fine. But you have to accept everything that comes along with it. And part of that is that you're going to see homosexual characters because that's where the culture is at right now.
You know, this actually, I usually save listener feedback, but I think this might be a good time to play Rick's voicemail. Did you have a chance to listen to
that? I didn't listen.
Well, here, just let's listen to it live. It's going to load up right here.
All right.
Hey, guys, this is your old friend, Rick Lee James, over at the Voices in My Head podcast. I just listened while I was out on my morning run, episode number 445 of the Sci-Fi Christian. And I have to say that Ben is just as much a part of the problem of fandom as any of the rest of us. He's human after all. Case in point, in episode number 445, just because a squirrel book was mentioned, Ben said it deserved 10 stars just because squirrels are in it. Story didn't matter. Nothing of the elements that he always gets on everything else about, movies, Marvel stories. So whenever one of us says we like something just because it has our favorite superhero, all we have to do now is default to squirrels and say, well, you like anything just as long as squirrels are in it. So, you know, fandom, you're just as much a part of the problem. Sorry, buddy. Anyway, looking forward to seeing you in Chicago in a couple weeks here. God bless. You guys, great show as always. I always love it. I especially enjoyed the last couple episodes. The one where you talked about communion was fantastic. So thank you for all your hard work. I do appreciate you guys. Bye.
All right, Ben. So,
man, I've been exposed.
I know. Let me just restate it. In case maybe you found out about the Sci-Fi Christian thanks to One Day's Wages, this is your first episode. You don't know that my co-host Ben here, he loves squirrels.
I love squirrels.
It's not a joke. He actually really loves squirrels.
Yeah.
We were talking about a book recently for kids that I thought was 3 stars. And Ben demanded that I give it a 5-star rating on Goodreads because it had squirrels in it. So, Ben, how do you...
No. I can defend myself here.
Well, how do you answer Rick's claim that just because there's squirrels in it, you think story doesn't matter, which is what you said?
No, I said that in the case of that book, because the point of that book was squirrel photography, not story. But yeah, I might be a little hypocritical on that issue.
Just when it comes...
I've been exposed.
All right, so that was good. Thank you, Rick, for that. That was perfect timing. Speaking of J.J. Abrams, Ben,
yeah,
we got some clarification on Cloverfield.
Okay.
Did you know about this?
I heard that he was thinking of doing a third one.
Well, first, let's talk about the second one, 10 Cloverfield Lane. A lot of people have been thinking it's going to be a sequel, but they weren't quite sure, and you and I speculated that maybe there'd be a Cloverfield anthology series where there are different monster or mystery or thriller movies with Cloverfield somewhere in the title, and that they would semi-tie together, but maybe just a name alone. And Abrams has basically said that that is the case. This is an anthology series. The monster inside the movie 10 Cloverfield Lane won't be the same monster that was in Cloverfield.
I like it.
And he took it a little bit further. I don't have the quote right in front of me, but just to paraphrase, he said if he has a chance to make multiple of these anthology movies, they do all have a common thread that he'd like to pay off in some other movie down the road, but... What, you're shaking your head?
It's J.J. Abrams. He's not going to pay anything off.
Okay. Well, that wasn't very nice. So, I'm shaking my head for a different reason. And not because I don't believe that that's the plan, but I just don't know if I even need that.
No.
Like, Twilight Zone, for example, anthology series, they don't have any threads of time together other than that umbrella, the Twilight Zone. And so, I'd be fine if he creates a bunch of great standalone movies that are under this Cloverfield umbrella.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm for it.
Yeah.
And I did hear that there's now talks for a third, but I'm guessing it wouldn't be related to either of the first two. So
right.
It almost doesn't even matter. All right. Your next piece of news.
I have 3 pieces of news.
Take them all.
Okay. Minecraft is being made into a movie, which is a little strange.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Minecraft?
I know kids like it. I don't know what it is, though. Is it a video game?
Yeah, it's a video. Imagine, like, a video game version of Legos, kind of.
But okay, but why? What's the point?
Well, you just build stuff.
But is there a game? Is there a challenge?
That's the game. So that's going to be the movie. It's kind of like, you know, to the extent that the Lego movie worked, and I wasn't a huge fan of it, it worked because of all the different franchises they pulled in.
Oh, is that what they're going to do?
No, because Minecraft doesn't have any of those.
Oh.
So imagine just like a tub of Legos.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, well, we'll
see. It's a fun game, but yeah, this is going to be a disastrous movie.
Is it a kid's game or is it for adults too?
Everybody.
I for some reason, I always thought it was a kid's game because I always hear about kids playing it.
No, I mean, it's actually pretty cool. If you just go online, even if you're not interested in the game, people have just built massive things in Minecraft.
It sounds like if you were just to say, I'm going to make Tetris into a movie.
Yeah, but the blocks aren't falling.
But it's the same thing. It's just a bunch of blocks.
Yeah, but like people have recreated Westeros in
I get it, but they're not going to do... So the whole movie's going to be, look what I made.
Yeah, I'm defending the game, not the movie.
Okay.
Two other pieces of news. Michael B. Jordan is going to star in yet another remake of the Thomas Crown Affair.
Thomas Crown Affair. Oh, yeah, that was Pierce Brosnan.
Well, he was in the remake, and then I don't know who was in the original, but who cares. And then Pacific Rim 2 is actually... back, but Guillermo del Toro is not going to direct it. Stephen DeKnight, who was behind Daredevil.
Yeah, I know you and I both like Stephen DeKnight. He started with Buffy. Yeah. I think he did Angel.
Yeah.
And then we both love Daredevil. But I think this is weird because Guillermo del Toro is so much a part of Pacific Rim. That was his baby.
Right.
Why would he not want to be a part of it, I wonder?
Well, I think the studio said you're not going to be a part of it. It's about what it came down to.
I think it's a bummer.
I did not see Pacific Rim, and well, I don't really have any desire to.
I guess I think it's a bummer on a personal standpoint for Guillermo del Toro. I didn't actually like Pacific Rim, so I'd be fine if they didn't make a sequel. I just feel bad for the man.
Right. Okay, that's it.
All right, well, we found out this week that a character from the Marvel Cinematic Universe that has appeared in every Thor movie won't be in Thor 3 Ragnarok.
Is it... Odin?
It is not. It's Dr. Erik Selvig.
Oh, that's fine.
The interesting piece of this news and his quote is that he says he signed a 5-film deal with Marvel, and so he only has one left, and Thor 3 is not that one. He's thinking it'll probably be, or maybe be, the next Avengers movie.
I was hoping it was going to be Kat Dennings' character, actually, because she's awful.
Yeah, I knew you didn't like her. Sorry about that. Another piece of news here.
Oh, I do have another piece of news, but you go ahead with yours.
Zack Snyder, apparently, wants to make a 300-style George Washington film.
Oh, that'll be good.
You like 300.
Yeah, but I don't need to see George Washington walking around all buffed out in a little Speedo.
All right. What's your last piece of news?
Did you ever watch the Nickelodeon game shows back in the
day? Yes.
Is this going to be last news of the day?
I was going to save it for last news.
Okay, let's save it. Let's save it.
Okay, let's come back.
It's
all right.
Too good.
It is too good. All right, I'll quickly run through these. We found out, I mean, I don't think we talked about this last week, but Deadpool has been doing amazing.
Yeah.
I just found this out. It is the number one superhero movie starring a single character as long as the character is not Batman or Spider-Man. Should you follow that?
Yeah, that's a lot of qualifiers.
I know it's a lot of qualifiers, but it's still amazing to think that Deadpool has grossed more money than Captain America, than Superman, than Thor, Iron Man.
Like, yeah.
So as long as the character is not Batman or Spider-Man in a solo superhero film, Deadpool is number one.
All right.
It's amazing. I don't like R-rated films. And I mean, okay, let me take it back a little bit. I don't necessarily mind R-rated films, but... this one I think everybody knows out there has lots of violence. I don't know if there's a lot of nudity, but there's nudity in it. So those are two things that I would generally be not for viewing. So I haven't seen Deadpool. I think it's amazing statistically, but I'm actually against the news in general. But where I'm going with it is, in the wake of that, we find out that Wolverine 3, which is going to be Old Man Logan, will be R-rated, and Zack Snyder's Batman vs. Superman, it's coming out as a PG-13 movie, but the DVD and Blu-ray is going to have a director's cut that's R-rated.
Marketing gimmick.
Yeah, so this is like the new thing.
Yeah.
What I'm envisioning is we'll have R-rated Deadpool 2, and then they've already been kind of teasing that they might do an X-Force movie. Yep. And so it looks like Deadpool is going to lead a team of superheroes. So I've basically been just viewing X-Force as the R-rated Avengers movie.
Yeah. Oh, and if anybody out there is saying, oh, no, we don't want R-rated superhero movies, refer back to Rant from 5 minutes ago. Same principle applies.
So in this case, I stood by it. I didn't go see Deadpool. I'm not going to.
I might see it at some point. I don't like Ryan Reynolds. That's why I wasn't interested.
Yeah, I mean, just like you're saying, it's like the new trend. So when Dark Knight, or I should say Batman Begins, came out, everybody thought, all the studios thought we wanted darker, grittier superhero movies. So then we saw a bunch of those. So I'm envisioning, and this is sad, but I'm envisioning we're going to have a bunch of R-rated superhero films. And the bad part about it isn't just that I don't personally want to see them, but that I know kids are going to go see this
stuff. No, but this is what I just said. Refer back to the rant from 10 minutes ago. The same thing applies.
What? I'm talking about kids.
Yeah, I'm saying that you can't say, oh, it's so great that we have all this widespread entertainment. Then when the studio looks at a way to make money and they follow through on it, you can't be on both sides.
But here's what I'm saying. I think you might be missing this point, is that kids are going to go see this because it's a superhero movie, and I'm against kids being exposed to this material.
Well, yeah, that's on the parents.
I know it's on the parents, but it's going to happen, so I'm just sad for that.
I mean, I'm going to show my kids it, but...
Right.
Yeah, obviously. Well,
obviously. Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One movie that we've been covering has found its male lead. What was that guy's name? It started with a P in the book.
Mark?
No, it was Wade something.
Harry?
I think his name started with a W, but it's Percival. Percival, remember? Oh, yeah. That's his, like, handle, his avatar name. So it is going to be the actor that plays Cyclops in X-Men Apocalypse. His name escapes me, so going to have to check out IMDb, listeners.
Right.
Whoever is Cyclops in Apocalypse.
It's an interactive show.
That is the guy in Ready Player One. All right, a couple more here. I think you and I guessed this was going to happen because of all the things that were moving around, but Gambit has been pulled from the 2016 release schedule. I mean, it was obvious.
No.
We talked about this in January. They hadn't started filming. They hadn't fully cast. I don't know if they had a director quite yet nailed down. I don't think the screenplay was ready. So I don't know how they planned on releasing it this year. Yeah. So they haven't changed the date at all. They just pulled it from the schedule altogether. And then instead, Fox added two more mystery Marvel films. I'm sure it'll be Deadpool related.
Yeah.
And I think that brings us to... Wait for it. Wait for it.
Last news of the day.
Ben, I loved this show that you're about to mention.
Take
it away.
So you're familiar with Nickelodeon game shows.
Oh, man. I loved Double Dare.
Double Dare.
But I loved this one that you're about to mention.
Yeah. What is it? Legend of the Hidden Temple?
Legends of the Hidden Temple. You'll remember the kids entered a video game-like scene. It had some Indiana Jones vibes happening.
Right. I know we all loved it, but this show is terrible.
Okay.
And it's back.
Yeah.
It's actually, I was reading an article on it, so it's going to be remade into a TV movie, but who cares? It's a chance to talk about Legends of the Hidden Temple. 75% of contestants failed the final puzzle because it was so ridiculously impossible to do anything and to solve the final temple challenge that they had.
Well, I just remember them. So this is the one that had a video game happening with it too, right?
No, that was a different one.
Oh, maybe that's the one I love then.
Yeah.
Let me go. You keep talking about it.
There was one where like they were projected into the video game and nobody
ever
won. Yeah, Nickelodeon had weird game shows back in the day. Yeah.
So Nickelodeon.
Is there Family Double Dare?
Let me think about this. What was that show called that I liked? So I'm sure I saw Legends of the Hidden Temple, but
I know which ones you're. I know what one you're talking about. I don't remember the name.
We can't end the show until we find out. So I'm just going to have to Google Nickelodeon game shows.
Okay. I think that's fair.
All right. Is it just called Arcade? I'm seeing one here called Arcade. I'm seeing one called Wild and Crazy Kids.
Yeah, I think it must have been Arcade.
All right. I'm gonna
Nick Arcade. That was it.
You're positive?
Positive.
Are you sure that in Legends of the Hidden Temple, they don't enter a video game?
I'm positive. There's no video game in Legends of the Hidden Temple.
All right. Well. Oh, yeah, here we go. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm seeing some screenshots. Yeah, Nickelodeon Arcade. This is a game I really liked because they'd enter into these video games. So you kind of see them like they'd have to watch the TV so they could actually see what world they're in.
Yeah, that's like the weatherman.
Yes.
They were on a green screen.
Yes. And so they jump every now and then. Yeah. I really like this one. But Hidden Temple, that's a great one too.
Yeah. These are all on YouTube. all of these are on YouTube.
Every episode?
Well, I don't know about every episode, but you can see enough, which is probably about 30 seconds in most cases. But yeah, guts, all of this. I don't know what they're thinking with this news. This is bizarre.
I don't think it's that bizarre. I mean, you think about a channel like the Disney Channel. They're doing all these made-for-TV movies all the time. So they have this property, Legends of the Hidden Temple. Kind of has, like I said, an Indiana Jones vibe. Why not try to see if they can make a kid's movie?
Well, why not just make a Indiana Jones' movie?
Well, it's Nickelodeon. They probably don't have the rights to Indiana Jones, but they have the rights to Hidden Temple.
I guess. I'm looking at the screenshots of this. There's this little idol guy who talked next to the host. Like, see?
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember being really worried I was going to get in trouble for watching that.
Oh, because your parents would think it's an actual idol?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I'm for this news. This is great.
I don't think great is the word I would use.
I like it.
Yeah, so Nickelodeon game shows.
Okay,
All right.
I know you have story time. I have some feedback we have to get to. So let's do a little listener feedback and then we'll conclude the show.
I like it.
All right. So I think if I'm not mistaken, this listener feedback. Oh, you know what? I've been saving this feedback, but we got some other feedback we really have to read. Liam, remember Liam?
Yes.
Liam wrote us a nice message. He said, "Dear Ben and Matt, I've been listening for a couple of years now, and this is the third time I felt moved to drop you a line, the first being my love letter to the Sega Mega Drive Genesis, the second being my vote in the top 100 movie countdown, which was awesome. I thought the Communion Commotion was brilliant. The Sci-Fi Christian has been my podcast of choice during a time in which I journeyed from Anglicanism," did I say that right?
Yeah.
"Through a dabbling in Orthodoxy to a home in Roman Catholicism, into which I am entering full communion next month."
Congratulations, Liam. That's fantastic to hear.
"It therefore felt appropriate hearing such a clear summary of the teachings that have driven my journey right there on your show. Over the years, your show has also helped me see how a sacramental worldview can help unlock and heighten your appreciation of some great film and literature. Thanks for making such complex issues so accessible, and keep up the amazing work, Liam." Well, Liam, I said to say, when I got this email, I felt very happy to hear that our show has helped people. You know, I think it is fun that Ben and I come from different perspectives, me being Protestant and him being Catholic, just so we can hash out these things. And we're not necessarily, as a show, taking a stance, but we're just presenting different viewpoints to you guys. And it's great to hear that we were able to help him on his own personal journey as well.
And that, Matt, is why the show must go on past episode 500. We're doing good stuff. We're having great conversations.
It's good. And Liam, thank you for your contributions to the past, and thank you for this message. We definitely really appreciate hearing that from you. And if there's any other listeners that want to write in, make us feel good, you can reach us at feedback@thesci-fi-christian.com.
Yeah.
Was there any other feedback we had to read this
week? I don't think so.
Yeah, here's one.
Oh.
Paul wrote in and said, "Hello, guys. Love the show. I just started listening to the communion episode, and I have a correction for you." Do you remember this one or not?
Nope.
"Lutherans absolutely 100% believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Do you want to respond right away, or do you want to keep reading?"
No, I'm just trying to remember if I read this. Did it go to both of us?
I think so. "Oh. We don't only believe that Jesus is there in an extra special way, but that his blood and body are present in the wine and bread. Luther's small catechism is clear about this. Not only is Christ present in communion, but it is a means of grace. Ben, you must have been..." He's saying basically you just must have been confused. I'm paraphrasing a longer sentence. He's not being rude, though. Don't worry.
Oh.
"Okay, now I am going to go listen to the rest of the episode. God bless, Paul."
Right.
So this is the first time we've heard from Paul, so he must have felt strongly about correcting this.
Yeah, I think that maybe, and Mike talked about this in his comment on the website, I think maybe the correction is I was using real presence too narrowly to refer to real presence as though the elements were the real presence. I didn't realize that Lutherans, Presbyterians use terminology such as real presence to refer to their beliefs, but there's still distinction between... what they believe and what Catholics and Orthodox believe about the elements themselves in the Eucharist. So, yes, I guess the term real presence, I didn't realize it was used that broadly in Protestant circles.
All right, so everybody, just in case you haven't heard it, last week we released episode 444 called The Communion Commotion. On that page that you can find on thesci-fi-christian.com, Ben continues some of the conversation with some of our listeners. Actually, Yeah, just two of our listeners, Jeremy and Mike, on there. So we won't read all of that here. Feel free to go read that online. But also, if you haven't checked out that episode, I thought it was a really fun one. Ben gave us some great information, so go check out episode 444. And as a secondary plug, that episode was great. And the week before, Ben had some notes on what makes a classic a classic. We're talking about mostly about books, but also about classic film. So what are the criteria to make something a classic? Again, that was just one I really enjoyed. So I encourage you to check out that one as well. Man, I had some things set aside for the countdown feedback, but I'll save that. And it, speaking of the countdown, man, I have so many questions for you. Speaking of the countdown, do you have the winner yet?
No.
The winner for the
next week.
So we have to do the winner for the countdown and the winner for the books. And then speaking of the communion, did you get my email that I sent today through Facebook, actually, not email, about baptism?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you read what I wrote to you and then respond?
I said, another thought. I loved our communion episode and our listeners seem to as well. What do you think about doing a companion episode of another sacrament? Baptism. Yeah.
Do you feel like
all seven.
Well, I don't know all of them because I'm Protestant. We only have two.
Well,
I would like to talk about
evangelical. You only have zero.
Are you interested in that, or do you feel like you had a lot? Because I know you had a lot to say about communion that came more naturally. I don't want to force an episode. Do you feel like that's worth
it? Yeah, I mean, there's lots of stuff to get into. Infant baptism, effects of baptism, all that good stuff. So, yes.
Okay, so down the road, we'll do baptism, and then we have coming up a Trickster God episode we discussed in the last episode. There was one other I was...
We're do some revival talk.
More revival talk.
I have a horror episode.
Oh, yeah. We've got some good stuff coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another one, though, I wanted to ask you about.
I have another one that I'm going to talk to you about off the air.
All right. So that's all coming up. You want to do story time or you want to get
Let's
out of here?
Let's do story time. I'll be quick.
It's sci-fi Christian story time.
So, as people know, I don't like going to the movie theater, but I did this weekend. And I thought that maybe I had cracked the secret to going to the theater and having a pleasant experience.
Okay.
So the fam's going to be out of town, or not out of town, but they're going out to Annie's mom's on Saturday morning. So Annie and the kids are going to be gone. And I wanted to see this movie that just came out, The Witch. And I know Annie doesn't want to see it. I know there's not a chance my good friend Matt Anderson is going to go see a movie called The Witch with me, unless it was maybe spelled W-H-I-C-H. Maybe you'd see that, but not this. You would not have wanted to see this movie, and I don't think you would have enjoyed it.
Okay.
So I was going to go by myself, and I look. Showtime at 10:20 a.m. Well, this is perfect. Okay, so I roll out of bed at 9:30, have a quick shower, head to the theater, get in the parking lot at 10:17 a.m. It's one of the things I hate is just having to get there so early. So I don't have to get there that early. It's going to be fine. Walk in. No, I'm first person to buy a ticket for this screening at 10:19 a.m. Walk in. I'm the only one there. It's great. Sitting back in my recliner and thinking, this is all right. So this is a superior way to watch a movie. But there were a couple problems still. The biggest problem is that, well, you still have to wait through about 2 hours worth of commercials and everything. So that annoyed me. The other big problem I still had is that this is actually a very quiet movie. There's lots of moments of silence and low amounts of sound. Well, across the hall from this theater, Star Wars The Force Awakens, right next door, Gods of Egypt are playing, and they are loud. So anytime there is a quiet moment in this movie, I don't get to hear the silence. I get to hear whatever Gerard Butler is doing with the snake in Gods of Egypt, and really drove me nuts. So not a perfect experience, but if I'm going to go to the theater, I think I found the way to do it.
A.M.
What was really bizarre, though, is some guy walked in 15 minutes to the end of the movie.
And sat in,
and
for,
sat in for the rest of the show. So he might have just been early for the next screening. But if you're a horror fan, I highly endorse The Witch, a very thought-provoking movie, and you'll probably hear more about that in the future.
Now, speaking of movies, as I'm about to hit the music here, tickets for Batman versus Superman went on sale today or yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So I know that you had asked on the last news episode if you could come with.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be okay. Do you need me to check with you first about time, or are you good all Thursday evening?
I need you to check with me about time.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. What time won't work for you?
I'll let you know if you buy the tickets.
All right. Well, that's all from here. I'm Ben Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
We are the Sci-Fi Christians signing off.
Yeah. Goodbye. Oh, I'm so excited for next week.
What's next week?
$4.99.
Oh, yeah.
$4.49, $4.50.
So, I hope you don't mind, but I wasn't able to complete some of them, so I just brought in some subs.
Okay.
For example, maybe I shouldn't spoil if we're still on
the
air.
You didn't finish Paradise Lost.
I didn't finish.
Start Paradise Lost.
It'll be on my list for next year.
Yeah.
I haven't made my list for next year yet, have you?
It is overflowing.
You have... How many do you have?
Too many. But I might just go with it.
Just have subs like I had.
Yeah.
So in case you guys don't know what Ben's talking about, every episode, something 50. So we'll be coming up on 450 here. We pick 25 things we're going to watch or read before the next 50.
Yeah.
So our episode 449 will be last year's list, and in episode 450, we'll be unveiling our next year's list.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't made my next year's list, and I haven't completed my this year's list. So I guess you could say I'm a failure.
I guess so. I've 2 years in a row, I finished all of mine in advance.
I think last year, I can't remember. I'm not going to go back and check, but I think I didn't finish one or two last year.
Right.
So we'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
Next week here on the Sci-Fi Christian. No news next week. So
right.
No listener feedback either. And I've got, man, we're just going to have to do a countdown feedback episode because I've been gathering this countdown feedback.
Okay.
Let's just do it. And then we'll announce the winner of the books episode, yeah. And we'll announce the second place winner for the movies.
Right.
Because I won the contest.
Yeah.
As listeners may remember. All right. Well, that's all. So long, folks.
Yeah. All right.